I'm sure that many of you are familiar with the five love languages, and mine is words of affirmation. And I just have to say, I think when you receive love that way, that you give love that way. And I'm giving that love to the tech team and to the praise team that so flawlessly brings you to the throne of God every Sunday morning. I'm so thankful for that. There's a reason to be excellent in what we do, is that they're not a stumbling block to you ushering God into your heart at this moment, to having the Holy Spirit be present. They're talented, they sound pretty, but it's so much more than that. It's so much more than that. So, again, I thank you, and we'll try to do that once every 6 months, that I'll tell you that. Let's pray. Father, I do pray for everyone here that they've heard the words of that song, that we no longer need to be a slave to fear. You took that onus from us. You took that burden away from us. And we still slip into that. We still go down that road. But remind us, Lord, when we start to turn that wrong way, that we are your child. Stand in front of us and redirect us to say, you are not a slave to your fear of inadequacy, to your fear of failure, to your fear of not being able to measure up to what others think of you. Lord, we pray for all of us this morning that we live in victory because of your victory over death. What a blessing. What an awesome opportunity it is for us this morning. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So my question to you, and I guess I'm guessing I already know the answer, so rhetorical. Have you ever had an aha moment? So that it's that moment where you finally get it. Maybe it's, and once you do that, it's hard to unknow it. Like a good mystery movie, once you know who did it, then you see all the hints beforehand, right? You see all the lead up to the big reveal. You can't watch movies like The Sixth Sense two times. You can't watch movies like The Usual Suspects two times. If you haven't seen those, you just have to trust me, you can't. Or you can, but you can say, wow, how did I miss that, right? Why didn't I see that? How in the world did I miss that? It was right in front of me. Well, it's like this. It's like when you see the arrow in the FedEx logo. Does anybody not see that? Don't be ashamed. Okay. You see the E, you see the X. Look at in between the E and the X. Now, those who have raised your hands will never be able to unsee that. I always thought everybody knew that. When Jamie was making slides on Friday, she said, what do you mean? I said the exact same thing to her. She said, oh, that was her aha moment. And then how you see the smiling arrow in the Amazon logo that goes from A to Z. Yeah. I love the discovery of the answer. I'll let you ponder that for a minute. I feel like I've lost you now. Okay? We'll leave that up there for a while so you can just awe and awe. It's like you're gonna see these two trucks tomorrow morning somewhere. So you'll be reminded of it. It won't be a problem. But I love the discovery of the answer. I love the process of figuring out how things work together. The little hints along the way that you only see when you look back at the whole story and go, oh, I see it now. Like when I discovered how to tie my shoes in a way that don't come untied without a double knot. I can't undo that now. That's how I feel about the disciples in Mark 6. If you have your Bible or open an app, you go ahead and open to Mark 6. If you haven't read it, please read it this week. As you look at the layout of chapter 6, you can see the subtitled areas throughout. Now, the original manuscript, just to let you know, did not have subtitles. But we do in our modern Bibles, and that's a benefit. And I think it's good to remember that when this was written, there weren't even chapters or separations or verses. Those were added later to help us navigate the writing. The subtitles are also there to help us find our way to different teachings and stories. And you can see the chapter, this chapter 6 opens up with Jesus rejected at Nazareth. And near the end of the chapter, it reads, Jesus walks on water. This morning, we're going to take a hard look at the disciples. And I'd like to start in that final section with a look at the verses 51 through 52. There's a storm. It's a big one. And the disciples are out in the boat. They are overwhelmed with fear. And in that moment, Jesus comes to them on the water. Then he climbed into the boat, and the wind stopped. They were totally amazed, for they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves, which had just happened. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. What? Why don't they get it? They still didn't understand the miracle of the loaves. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. As I studied this chapter, I was pushed to the question, why? Why would that be? I love puzzles. This puzzled me. Why don't they understand? This morning, I want to walk you through my process toward this answer as we look at chapter 6 in an overview type of way, keeping in mind the purposes behind the book of Mark. Jesus' humanity, Jesus' authority and power, the centrality of the focus of the cross, and the failure of the disciples. Mark 6 begins with Jesus in Nazareth with his disciples. He's in his hometown after his time in Capernaum. It's as if he needed a break. So he heads home to visit mom, share some meals with family, and of course he would go to the temple. Yet, Mark writes that when Jesus speaks in the temple, those who had seen him grow up around them couldn't wrap their heads around what he was saying, and they rejected him. They couldn't see beyond the boy to the man. They saw his hometown reject, and they wondered if it limited what they could accept. The disciples looking at that, his own family, his own town doesn't even accept him. The disciples saw Jesus being rejected, and maybe you know that feeling. When someone you know is rejected, you have to decide what you're going to think about them too. Did you know that research tells us that the mind processes rejection physically? It's a physical pain. And as Jesus experiences this rejection and the hurt that it brings, what did the disciples think? I wonder, did the disciples miss the message because Jesus was rejected by others? That's a thought. One of Mark's purposes is to show us the humanity of Jesus. It does it from beginning to the end. It's the humanity of Jesus. And we see this not only in the pain of rejection from those that had been in his life since he was a toddler, but as the chapter continues, they see Jesus deal with the loss of his cousin, John. John, whom some of these guys had followed until Jesus came. John, whom Jesus grew up knowing. John, who baptized Jesus. The grief would have been deep, and I wonder if they thought the Messiah wouldn't grieve or feel loss. Did this place some doubt in him or in them about him? In the midst of this, you can see a title in the chapter that reads, Jesus sends out the 12 disciples. So the disciples went out, telling everyone to repent of their sins and turn to God, and they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil. Now, we aren't told how long the disciples were on the road, but knowing that this travel was all on foot, I'd assume that this was probably at least a month or more. They were empowered to do as Jesus did, do the things that they must have seen him do. So I have to wonder, did they miss him because they got wrapped up in themselves and what they were doing? Some of you have never noticed the arrow in the FedEx logo, even though it's been in front of you several times. It's easy to miss if you never look for it. It's not a big end of the world. You didn't see it until now. But Jesus, right in front of them, was hard to miss. But were they so caught up in their own stories that they missed Jesus' story? How do you react when you don't understand something? Do you push back? Do you harden your heart in those moments? Do you build a wall until you understand? As the disciples deal with the storm, remember the storm, their hearts were unable to understand the miracle that is right in front of them. The disciples weren't connecting the dots. They'd done miracles themselves, right? They'd done miracles themselves through the power of the Holy Spirit, yet as Jesus comes to them walking on the water, they're so caught up in their own situation that they miss him. How often do we do the same thing? We experience God at work in our lives. He surprises us or uses us in his work, and we are in awe of him. But when life gets hard or we experience a loss, we forget what he has done, because the moment of hard is so overwhelming. In these moments of overwhelming, it's easy to become so self-focused that we forget what we know to be true of God. Let's go back to the story. The disciples return from their missionary journey. In verse 30, we read, "The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught." Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine the stories of a month on the road? I can just hear them talking over each other, pushing each other aside to tell each other what they had done. James and Judas talking about the blind seeing, Peter and John sharing about the lame walking, Matthew and Simon sharing of the many groups of people that they had taught. They had discovered the wonder of doing God's work. And because of their work, many were seeking Jesus. Many of the people these disciples came in touch with were seeking Jesus. The crowds were gathering. But they had also been away from home for a long while, and they had to be tired. This brings us to the title before 30. Jesus feeds the 5,000. They had been so busy. And then we find in verse 31. Then Jesus said, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. Mark makes a point throughout this chapter of telling us of the rhythms of work and the rhythms of rest of Jesus. As you read this chapter, notice the ebb and flow of rest and activity, of rest and activity. As the rabbi, he was always teaching them. He was never not teaching them. Pushing them to experience life. Pushing them to live into the rhythm of rest and prayer. Yet their rest was interrupted often, and this made me wonder, did they miss the message because they were too busy? Have you ever been so busy that you come to the end of your day and realize you didn't take time to eat? With people everywhere asking for help. People following them, running after them, pushing them to touch Jesus. It had to be overwhelming. So when they are faced with 5,000 people waiting, people needing food, it's no wonder they were like, "Send them away. Ooh, I can't deal with this." Jesus took the bread and fish given and fed everyone quite a bit left over, by the way. But again, I wonder if they missed what Jesus had for them because they were just too busy. Yes, Jesus fed the people, but who do you think served them? Who do you think picked up all the leftovers? Who do you think dealt with the cranky ones, the older ones, the younger ones running around tripping everyone? And remember, these guys were already tired. I wonder if it's like that feeling at the end of Thanksgiving dinner when you're boxing up leftovers only to realize that you're still hungry because you actually didn't stop to eat a regular meal yourself. So we come to the verses I shared at the beginning. The disciples are finally in the boat because Jesus had gotten them out of there. And then what happens? A storm comes up. Jesus isn't physically with them. He has stayed behind to what? To pray. Remember how I said a moment can be often overwhelmed with what we know to be true. As they faced the storm, they were tired, they were a little bit confused, and they lost sight of what they had seen, done, and learned. Because remember, how Jesus came to them. Jesus came to them on the water. Which brings us to those verses. Then he climbed into the boat, and the wind stopped. They were totally amazed, for they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. Why? Had Jesus' hometown rejection thrown them off? Or were they just too busy and tired? Or had they totally forgotten what they knew to be true in the overwhelming moment of the storm, literal storm in their life? Here's what I know. Jesus didn't do anything randomly. As I started out to put the larger pieces together, the messages I was seeing in this section, the hints, Jesus was giving through his teaching and miracles. Let me say that again. Jesus was giving us through his teaching and his miracles. Those reflected what we already know about God. The teaching we see in the teaching, the word that we see in the teaching, the miracles, we already know of God. But that's reflecting what we already know of God. So what is he trying to teach them through these miraculous moments? There were messages in the miracles. There were messages in the miracles. We can see them because we have the aha of hindsight. Yes, Jesus is saying, yes, I am human. Yes, I am God. He is revealing himself to his disciples as the Son of God and man, yet they weren't ready to put the pieces together. Thankfully, we can. Mark is crafting this story after the fact. He knows the whole of it and is able to show us Peter's knowledge of the stories of the chosen people of Israel and their connection to the amazing wonder of the human moments of Jesus and the astounding authority and character of God. Did they miss the message because they had just not yet connected the dots between Jesus and God? Peter, as well as the other disciples, would have attended Hebrew school. They would know their Torah, of course, the first five books of the Old Testament. They would have known the stories of the Israelites and their rescue from Egypt. They would know the stories of salvation that God had brought to the people of Israel. I wonder if Jesus was hoping they would connect the dots. I just wonder if he would say, I hope they connect the dots between the stories they knew of God from the Old Testament to the one that was living right with them, connecting what they knew to what they were experiencing. What they knew to what they were experiencing. Connect. I think the disciples don't understand because they have limited Jesus. They have yet to equate him with God. Right? I think we'll see that progressively in the next few chapters. They were missing the correlation between meaning and the miracles and what they were learning of Jesus, man and God. A man that needs rest, but a God that feeds thousands. A man that needs prayer, and the God who walks on water. Let me show you what I mean. In Exodus, we can read the stories of the Israelites and their escape, their exodus from slavery in Egypt. As they traveled away from Egypt and into the wilderness, God did amazing things to protect his people. Again, another piece of the puzzle behind the messages and the miracles, I believe. Moses, while in Egypt, grew up in the Pharaoh's household. Think about that. He would have known the Pharaoh really well. When he came before Pharaoh later in life, the Pharaoh's heart was hard to letting the Israelites go free. He knew Moses too well to accept his new truth. He didn't want to accept the change of the norm. The people of Nazareth do the same thing to Jesus. They'd seen Jesus grow up, knew him as a child, then a carpenter. It was too much to accept who he truly was. In both cases, there is rejection and there are hardened hearts. God at the burning bush empowered Moses to do signs and wonders through his staff to show his power to Pharaoh. Jesus empowered his disciples to do miracles to show who he was to all that they encountered on their road trip. God provided food for thousands of Israelites in the desert bringing manna each morning. You know where I'm going here. He sustained that nation as they spent time in the desert, and Jesus just, we came right out of the story of feeding the 5,000 with bread, sustaining those who were present. And God opened the Red Sea and the Jordan to create the way to walk through and get to the other side without getting their feet wet. And Jesus walked on the water to show his authority. Jesus is the same God. Yet their hearts were hardened. Not much hope in this moment. So as the stories of Mark 6 are found in the other Gospels, and in John we see a bit more behind the story. John wrote to help us see Jesus as God, and in this story, what he records gives us a broader picture. After the feeding of the 5,000, the people are searching for Jesus. They discover that he isn't anywhere around. They don't realize that he walked to his disciples on the lake, and they continued on to Gennesaret. The people go looking for Jesus, and they find him on the other side of the lake. Just like the disciples, they don't understand the message of the miracle. They just want more food. They say, our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus must have been just shaking his head, wondering, how long am I going to have to deal with this? How long am I have to deal with so many that just aren't getting it? But check out what he tells them. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God. Here's the will of God written in yellow. You ready? That I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but that I should raise them up at the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. Jesus is saying, I'm not giving up on any of you. It's my Father's will that all of you see his Son and believe. As we continue through Mark, we can see Jesus continually pouring into his disciples, hoping and helping them to come to understand. We can't miss the message of those miracles. Jesus is the God of the New Testament, and but also the God of the Old Testament. He was the provider, protector, and sustainer then, as he is now. Just as God empowered Moses and the disciples, Mark wants us to see that with Christ, we are empowered as well. All of this is possible because the power of God, this is the message of the miracles, the power of God. As followers of Jesus, we are his disciples, and we can learn so much from those first disciples as we look at this chapter. Why didn't they understand? Were they too influenced by what others thought of Jesus? Were they so caught up in what they could do that they lost sight of who empowered them? Were they just too busy? Or like the crowds, were they just looking for something different? Whatever the reason, they didn't understand that the God of the universe that raised Moses up to free his people from slavery was the same God in Jesus that was raised up to free his people from their sin. They miss the message, but we can't. We need to learn from those first disciples. We can't allow busyness to blind us to his work around us. We can't allow what others think of Jesus to change what Scripture tells us to be true. We can't get so caught up in ourselves that we miss the one that has gifted us to do his work. Not only gifted us, but empowered us to do his work. And we can't let the storms of life cause us to forget that he's with us in the boat. What can we do? We can lean in. Jesus will not give up on you. He is pursuing your heart. He is walking on the water of the chaos in your life to join you in the boat and to help you to shore. Yeah, Jesus was human. Yeah, Jesus is God. And those two truths are what we can stand on and allow us to see the message and the miracles that are right before us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I do thank you for the obvious things that are right in front of us. Help us see them. Help us understand that you sent your Son, but your Son is truly divine, as he was truly man. We have the benefit of hindsight, dear Lord. We have the benefit of watching others process through this information, but we, as followers of Christ, believe in him and believe in our salvation that was created by him. We give you all the praise and glory for being able to be in a place where we can safely and courageously follow your words. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.